get started with the message today. It's a pretty good one, I believe. It's called Refresh Your Soul. Refresh Your Soul. If you got your Bibles, open up to Matthew 11:28, and we'll get started with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you will speak through me boldly and accurately, Father God. And I just believe that it would set people free. Your anointing on this word, your yoke destroying, burden removing anointing. Lord, we just thank you for that. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First off, Jesus says, come to me. He didn't say go to anyone else. He says, come to me. The move you make when you are dealing with things that are weighing you down is to sit yourself down and spend time with Jesus. Sometimes we want to turn on television. Sometimes we want to listen to music or what have you. It's to spend time with him and his word. And that's our first move when we're dealing with things in our life. He's the one that will give you true rest. A lot of times we may go on vacations and things of that nature and then still come back and we're just tired still. Because we haven't really spent rest with Jesus. If you go on, go ahead. But make sure you dedicate some time with the Lord. Spend some time with him. He's the one that won't lay anything heavy on you. He's the one that will teach you everything you need to know and how you will find rest for your souls. The daily stress that you may have from your job. Refresh yourself in him. No one ever said you had to carry that day to day. Come to me. Many people will go to others before they ever think about going to Jesus. They'll go to others. Rather than finding out what Jesus says, what his word says about our situation, we'll go to other people automatically. Not saying that there's anything wrong, but if he's our God, if he's our Lord and Savior, let's let him be that in our lives. Jesus doesn't take you away from your problems, or he doesn't take your problems away, or the troubles you're going through. He gives you rest for your souls, and that word rest also means to refresh. See, your problems don't just go away, because when it's all said and done, you're still going to have to face them. But it's almost like a reset. You may be at your wit's end at the end of the day and it's like, you know what? But here's the thing. His grace and mercy are new every morning. Now you can tackle on that situation. Because God isn't going to remove the mountain in your life. You have to do it. The mountain will obey your voice. Jesus says, I will refresh your souls in the midst of your troubles. In the middle of your storms, you can come to me. Remember when the disciples were out in the boat, they were just, their minds were all over the place. The wind began to come up and the waves began to crash against the boats, and Jesus was what? He was sleeping. Learn from me. Now he ended up rebuking the wind, but they still would have gotten to the other side if they just would have slept just like. And a lot of times we just spend more time talking about our storms. Venting our storms in every which way rather than checking out to see what his word says about us and just spending time with him. The most important thing you can do in your Christian walk is develop your relationship with God. It isn't going around doing miracles and believe you me, I love that because that comes through the body of Christ. But your most important thing that you can do is have fellowship with the Father. The Passion Translation says this. That word come also means to follow. It says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me and I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. When you are following Jesus, you are learning how he dealt with the things he went through. He knew people were going to kill him. He knew he was going to lay his life down for a situation. But yet, how he handled the situation was so good, because he called him out on it. He didn't step out of character. He didn't get all flustered. He didn't have to call 12 legions of angels to come to his side to wipe everybody out. And he could have. Well within his right. But he didn't. But more importantly, you're growing in your relationship with him. And it's not just a relationship, it's a fellowship. So if we come to Jesus with our problems all the time and try to get him to solve our problems, there's not much of a relationship there. God doesn't grant you freedom from your troubles, but he does give you rest in the midst of your troubles. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is the Amplified version, says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the eternal paths, where the good old way is. Then walk in it and you will find rest for your what? Souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. See, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He hasn't changed. There is no fancy or cool way for you to enter his presence or to draw closer to him. You ain't got to get all fancy about it. Just be real. Someone once said, if you don't know what to pray for, tell God about it. As long as you're communicating with him, that's what he wants. Fellowship. The old paths are the retrieval way to worship the Father. Not ways that are set up with idols and rituals in order to get God to hear from you or for you to hear from him. And the sins of the people that were being dealt with right away, the prophets and the priests were dealing falsely with the people during those times. They were offering them peace, but no one was receiving it. The good old way is a pathway of faith and holiness. It's a way without idols and distractions away from God. That is keeping you away from the fellowship with the Father. Isaiah 66:2 says this, for all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who was poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. We take his yoke. People know the story about the yoke that is put on an oxen and everything else. Jesus says, take my yoke. Take that all. Take my yoke and learn from me. Basically, when you take the yoke of Jesus, he's saying, walk with me. You're submitting to him. You're submitting to his ways. You're submitting to what he says. You're submitting to what how he's done it when you take his yoke. And who on this earth got better results than he did? He didn't say follow Daniel's way. He didn't say follow Moses' way. He says follow me. Religion will have you jumping all sorts of hoops in order to receive God's best for you. The message says this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So why do we make it so complicated? Because we're doing it ourselves. We're taking our own yoke. He says, keep company with me. And I will teach you how to learn. I will teach you how to live freely and lightly. To be yoked means to be put under submission. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not submit to unbelievers in that way. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Jesus is saying, if you truly submit to me, I can promise you that I will not put anything heavy on you. If you truly trust him, that true rest for your souls, then I am the one you need to hang with. There used to be a show back in the day we used to watch on Saturdays, Hanging with Mr. Cooper. All the kids wanted to hang with Mr. Cooper because Mr. Cooper was cool. But we need to get to the place where we begin to hang with Jesus more. He says, I'm the one you need to be putting before anything else. Your soul requires this daily, not weekly. It's easy to act like a Christian when we just come to church every Sunday, but it's a daily walk that we have with them. There's a quote by Peace Pilgrims from Pilgrim's Progress that says, if you realize how powerful your thoughts are, you would fight to never allow a negative one. Sometimes we can talk ourselves out of fellowship. We can talk ourselves out of relationship. We can talk ourselves out of promotion. We can talk ourselves out of healing. We can talk ourselves out of deliverance. We can talk ourselves out of peace. Fight to never allow a negative thought to come again. We may spend far too much time learning from the world and how to rest, but Jesus didn't say learn from them. Watch how I do it. Not I, him. No matter what situation Jesus was in, nothing bothered him because he knew the Father. Watch how he does it. People say stuff about you. Watch how he does it. Didn't bother him. It was almost to the point where people would think you are overly confident in who you are in Christ. When you don't let it allow it to bother you, when you don't allow it to get to you, people, oh man, he's just arrogant. It's not arrogance. Don't allow my confidence to disrupt your insecurities. It's confidence in Christ. You're too busy being petty. You're too busy trying to compete. You're too busy trying to trip somebody up. Nah. Jesus dominated. Learn from him. He said, learn from me. How I do it is how you're going to do it. Psalms 107:9 says this. For he satisfies the soul, the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 94:19 says, in a multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. The best way out of debt is getting, the best way out of debt is getting in the presence of God. Did I say debt or doubt? Debt. I meant doubt. But that works too. I'm sitting here looking at it. I said, maybe the Lord is telling me something. No, sir. Shutting everything and everyone out of your life for those moments and just getting down to fellowship with the Father. I said, man, we can choose to do everything like the world. But see, when God is leading us, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, it'll keep you from spending so much money on stuff that you shouldn't be doing. It'll keep you from wasting time in every which way. It'll keep you from all the little failures that you never would have had if you just would have walked in that direction. And some people may be trying to speed you up. The enemy wants you busy. The enemy wants you distracted from hearing the voice of God. But when you begin to listen to him, you ain't going to be taking that route anymore and going all over the place. It's just going to be a straight direction. Yeah, but there's trouble ahead. That's all right. Just keep on going. You hanging with me. Just keep on going. But this, look, there's a valley of the shadow of death. Yes, it's a shadow. It's not going to kill you. Anybody get afraid of your own shadow? It's a shadow. That's okay. Keep on walking. Learn from Jesus. Shutting everything out of and everyone out of your life for those moments and just getting down to fellowship. There are a lot of examples in the Bible that we can go from. We can learn from David. That's not who we're supposed to learn after, though, right? We can learn from those stories, but he didn't say, follow them. He said, follow me. Mark 6:31, he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. This is when they just got through. Jesus sent out the 12, sent them out two by two. And of course, they were doing everything you're supposed to be doing in ministry, preaching, teaching, healing. And then it came to time for him to get some rest. See, it's good so that you don't get burnt out. I got burnt out. The reason why I got burnt out, because I was working 12 to 14 hour days, 6 days a week. I didn't get any rest. Matter of fact, there was a guest speaker that we had back in September 2020. He said, he asked us, where would you want to go on vacation? We started running off all these places and stuff like, just take a vacation. We never took one. I got burnt out. Lord showed me that after the fact. I don't get sick. I'm the healed. But my body broke down because I didn't listen. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Would have kicked COVID through the goalposts if I would have been listening to the Lord. I said, sometimes we can work so much that we don't ever take the time to rest and refresh ourselves. People are dealing with so much problems today, and it's crazy because we're not taking the time to refresh ourselves like we used to. Things are coming a whole lot quicker. I mean, I remember there's a time. Anybody still have a landline? Old school, you know. Seriously, when would you ever get a call on a job? When you back in the day, seriously, like you would have to wait until you got home and check the answer machine. People weren't calling you on your job, you know, bothering you in every which way. They respect your time, and they waited until you got home or what have you, or called you up at your house and left a message. Then when you got home, you dealt with those things. Nowadays, they pick you up, text you, or they want you to text them right back. I'm working. They can wait till 5 o'clock. But they want it now. Gives you time to kind of relax a little bit. You don't answer a text within 30 seconds or something, do it. It's, they left me on red. Really? If you sense the Father is telling you to rest, then rest. Stop allowing people to push you into doing what they want you to do to the point you get burned out or even sick because of the busyness of life. You know, if you realize you work yourself to an early grave, they're going to replace you within a couple of days or weeks. You better relax. You better get some rest. Because you're in it for the long haul. Take a vacation and make sure you really spend some time with the Father. Your body's worn down because you haven't had the proper rest. The Lord showed me that earlier. Okay? Rest. You can rest in Him. Jesus said, take my yoke, submit to Him. Learn from me. Learn. Don't submit to anything else. He says He will restore your strength. And you can think of it as like a reset. Every single day you reset. When you spend time, it's a reset. Every time you, 5, 10 minutes, it's a reset. Thoughts are coming in your mind so much, it's time to reset. It's time to refresh every single time. Just think of it as just buffering, loading up. You're loading up again. And again and again. Why? God has given you another update. You're refreshing your soul. Now, how easy would it be for God to just take away our troubles? He doesn't take away our troubles. Jesus says in John 16:33, troublemakers like this scripture. In this world, you will have tribulation, but not to fear, for I've overcome the world. You know why troublemakers like this scripture? It's because that means they can go out, they read it as, well, I can go out and cause trouble in your life. But Jesus is saying, not to fear, for I've overcome it. See, if He just took away our problems, it'd be too easy. That'd be way easy for Him. and way easy for us. We can't hit that easy button all the time. But when we hook up with him, he can make it so light that we're more focused on him than we are our troubles, our problems. Remember in Isaiah 54:15, it says this, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife, but it's not from me. It is not from him. If it's not from God, then who is it from? Can y'all answer that? Who's it from? No. Come on. Sometimes it's from us, sometimes it's from the devil. So people are purposely submitting themselves to the devil in order to stir up strife in your life. Or to submit into the flesh. James 4:7 says, it's perfect for those who choose to do that. It says, therefore, you, this is my interpretation of it, says that this is 3 Timothy. Oh, sorry. Y'all didn't get that. My name's Tim. Okay, Timothy. My grandma named me. Okay. I thought I was slow. That's why. No, <I'm> slow. It says, therefore, you who choose to side with the devil, submit yourself to God and resist. Resist means to stand against the devil and he will flee from you. Taking the yoke that Jesus gives means we are submitting our lives, our ways, our purpose, our bodies, our plans, our desires, our finances, everything that deals with us on a day-to-day basis, we are submitting to him. And when we resist the devil, he will flee. People think that the devil is after you because you're not submitted to God. Let me ask you a question. Was the devil after Jesus? Was he submitted to God? Was the devil after the disciples? Were they submitted to God? Was the devil after Paul? All the afflictions that he had? But was he submitted to God? Yeah. So apparently that ain't true. Gave you 3 examples. Devil's after you, man. No. The devil's after you when you choose to stir up strife. When you're submitted to God, you won't choose to submit to strife. You won't sow strife. You won't try to covet your neighbor's stuff. You won't try to come against your brother. You won't try to stir up trouble in their life when you're submitted to God. When you're not submitted to God, you will do those things. And he's telling you, submit to me. And then resist the devil. Resist the temptation of trying to come against your brother, your sister, your family, your neighbors. Resist them, and he will flee from you. And you don't ever have to respond to people who do that. You know, you actually, for me, I have to actually value their opinion about me in order to hurt me. Anyone can say anything. Anyone can run their mouth. But that you have to actually value their opinion. And even if you do value their opinion and they're telling you the truth, understand you still have the word of God and what it says about you. Sometimes people need to tell you the truth. Because they love you. Kristen sometimes tells me, you know, I'm not that funny. I beg to differ. She's pretty funny. Not funnier than I am. The more and more I talk, the just funnier I get. But here's the thing. Jenny Mayo says that silence is the only successful substitute for brains. First John 3:1. Says this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. When you are living with God and fear is creeping up on you, here's what you do. You cast your cares. fear and anxiety is creeping up on you, you cast your cares on him. First, Psalms 55:22 says this, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:6, we all know this one. Therefore, humble yourselves. Humble who? Humble who? When you try to humble someone else, it's not humility, it's humiliation. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, a few summers ago, my daughter and I, we used to go fishing. We went fishing over here south of the church here, and we went out there, and I didn't know how to fish whatsoever. I'm glad I didn't throw my rod in the lake, little pond there. But one of the things they did, it taught you how to cast. And I would end up casting it this way. I watched, what was that movie, Funny Farm or something like that with Chad? I didn't want to do that around any, you know, get the hook caught in a person's mouth or neck or something like that. No, I don't want to do all that. So I would cast, because she was over here, I would cast this way. And, you know, when you cast that line, it comes out, boom. You make it, let it sit there for a little bit with your bait. And then you just reel it back in, pick another spot, cast it. But see, this is what we've been doing with our problems, with the troubles we go through. Troubles is that we cast it. Anyone bite? How many people do I have to tell? No one's biting on that story. Okay, I'm going to reel it in. I'm going to take it here and I'm going to throw it over here. I'm going to tell everybody about my problems and every which way. And all of a sudden, look at what everybody's been doing to me. Oh, I just don't feel so good. God doesn't love me, all this other stuff. And nobody's biting on it. Okay, let me reel it back in. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to try to cast it way over here. Come on, catch, Doug. And I'm going to talk about my problems in every which way. But see, the thing about it is God is saying, cast all your cares on him. We take it. We cast it. Let me cut the line. Let it sink. Let it drop. He's got it. We keep reeling that trouble right back in. Fighting trouble. We just keep reeling it back in every single day. We got to cut that line. He's saying cut it. Cast it. Cut the line. Stop worrying about it. Don't you know I care for? I care about you. I love you too much. Let it go. Romans 8:26. It says, take my yoke. So what do I do? This is what I do. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I get into the Word. I find out what Scripture fits with what I'm going through. Some people may call it prescripture, perscripture. But I find out which one that I'm dealing with. And I begin to meditate on it. Sometimes I'll start off soft, but then it gets louder and louder. Next thing you know, I'm preaching to myself. Surprised my neighbors ain't called the cops yet. Because I'm just walking through the house pacing. I'm prophesying over myself. I'm speaking the word over my life. Then it gets to the place to where I begin to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says we don't know what we ought to pray for. Praying in the Spirit is the same as speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is praying. It's stirring me up. Then I get to saying some more. I get to speaking it out some more. And the more fervent it gets, the more powerful it just begins to well up on the inside of me. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. He doesn't force or control you. Some people, what are you talking about praying in tongues? Y'all, you do that weird stuff? Yes. And it works. The Holy Spirit does not get you to the place to where you're out of control. It's like a faucet. You turn on the faucet, water comes out. You turn it off, it stops. Imagine that. So when I pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes with me. He doesn't take over, he intercedes with me and begins to pray with me. And then when I shut my mouth, he stops. I don't keep rumbling off. It's controlled. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, and there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, Holy Spirit is the person as he wills. But I don't need all that tongue stuff. We don't need it today. I beg to differ. If I may, can I have a few people come up? I need about 9. Brian, you want to come up? Here you go. You are a word of wisdom. There you go. You can stand right here and face everyone else. Josiah, come on up. Your word of knowledge. What's your son's name? Oldest.
Kyle.
Kyle, come on up, my man. You are faith. You want to be gifts of healing? Come on up. Come on up. Dre. Come on up, my man. Discerning of spirits. Here we go. Check this out. Yeah. Trey, you want to? Yeah, he is. I knew it. I knew it. He's got all these young guys up here. Your prophecy. I won't pick on you, Wesley. Who? JC. I'll pick on JC there. Third place in a whack.
I know it.
Look at that. Working of miracles. All right, we got 2 more. Well, I'll get the 2 less desirable men. Just kidding. I'm just playing. Good man. Different kinds of tongues, you get interpretation of tongues. Because there's a... You're a good man. I didn't mean that. Now, here's what we done. Look, everybody, who's got apps on their phones? You got apps? I got apps. We got different types of apps on our phone. Now, you guys know how to delete them? Okay. So my iPhone, you got to hold the screen, and it's got a minus sign. You can delete that. Delete your phone. Delete your messages, your text messages. Delete your app store. Delete your settings. Delete your maps. Delete your photo ones. Delete your camera. How many of you would do that? See, here's the thing. These are the apps that God has given us for this body of Christ, for the church. And what we've done is we don't necessarily need all of that. We're going to develop our own. So we got different types of groups. We got the old group. We got the young group. We got the singles group. We got the young adults group. We have the bike riding group. We got the prayer group. We got the crochet arts and crafts group. We have so many different types of groups, and we've replaced it instead of these right here. This is what God has given us. This is the original version right here. It never has to be updated. Because it has stand the test of time. But what some people have done. Come over here. No. You say, wait. All right. Some people I put this aside. You go ahead and sit down. You can just sit down right here in the front row. We are taking, we use word of wisdom. We use faith. We'll use word of knowledge. Nah, you're going to have to go sit down. I just need you to squat just a little bit. Sometimes we may use you every once in a while, working the miracles. Yeah, you might have to squat down too. And definitely these, y'all go way out in left field. And then we replace these with groups. And then we wonder why we have so much drama going on in the body of Christ. We wonder why so many people are just jacked up mentally or what have you. It's because we've ignored these things over here. When does God ever start a group? When did Jesus ever start a group for healing? To deal with people's problems? Well, you can come vent to us. What problem you got? Speak to the mountain. If you hang with them, you're going to learn from them. You're going to learn how he did it. Come on over. See, these tongues are so important. This interpretation of tongue. These two are the same as this right here. That's in the church. Why? Because these things will edify the church. It builds the church up. We're using groups to build the church up now. You realize how prideful and arrogant we have to be to say, God, we don't need these anymore. We get full of ourselves and we say, we don't need that anymore. Well, we don't need that stuff. Not this church. And not many other good churches. But y'all come on up. You can stand up. You need all of these. There's so much information today. Sometimes we're just going to have to swallow our pride and get an understanding of this. Get an understanding of these. These are your original apps. You wouldn't dare delete any apps on your phone that you necessarily need. Well, how am I going to make a phone call? Now I just got a phone that'll just calculate. Turn it to the side, man. You got one of those Texas Instruments. Costs about the same. Working of miracles. Gifts of healing. I'm dealing with some stuff in my life, Lord. I need healing in my life. Gifts of healing. Oh, we don't want that. How dare we get that? And people will make fun of that coming into the church. Yeah. Are you nuts? That's crazy. He's the original app builder. I don't want to mess with this stuff here. Because that just means that I know what's going on in people's lives and things. Don't you think that that's pretty good? Especially from the Holy Spirit. I'd rather get it from the Holy Spirit than get it from people. Why? Because you get to the root. It's all in the same spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives it to you. And he's not going to give you anything jacked up. He's not going to say, what's that word? What do they use? Jailbreak. Anyway, God is not going to have you jailbreak his Bible. These gifts right here. He's not going to give you a knockoff. This is the real thing. So let's use that accordingly. Lord, if there's anything in my life and any gifts that you want to give me at that time, I'm open to it. Thank you, gentlemen. You can, and ladies. You can take those home with you. It's your parting gift. And ask the Holy Spirit to download it in you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you've never asked the Holy Spirit to fill you, so that you can get that heavenly prayer language. All you have to do is ask and he'll do it. Then open up your mouth. And as you begin to speak, it'll just start flowing out of you. Rivers of living water. And once you start, you can stop it. But here's the thing. Why would you? But Pastor, when I pray, my mind is unfruitful. It needs to be. To deal with all the junk that's coming in your mind, it needs to be unfruitful. But he says, you know, pray with your understanding. And of course, 1 Corinthians 14:9-39 says not to forbid it. Well, Heart Church don't accept that. Well, God bless you. I want to say something different. But God bless you. But I believe that's the height of pride and arrogance to reject a gift that God has given us. These are 9 spiritual gifts. And we begin to reject them one by one. One by one. How long till we reject the Son? Because he was a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't want to reject what he's given us. Amen. If there's anyone in here today who's never received Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today for the first time in your life, raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Everyone's born again. God bless you. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. Okay. Again, you can do that on your own time as well. God is not a respecter of persons. He'll give it to you if you ask. He's a generous father. If there's anyone in here that's dealing with any pain or sickness or any kind of ailment in their body, it doesn't matter. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. A couple of hands going up. Well, we speak the pain right now in your bodies. We command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. Father God, whatever ailment that is going on right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing flowing through his body. Hallelujah. Just say this with me. Body, be healed in Jesus' name. You line up according to his word. And by his stripes, I am healed. Amen and amen. Well, stand on your feet. Thank you. Told you it was one of my longest messages. And if you're out there on camera, you still recording? Tell your body to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Sciatic, knee problems, back, called it healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, all cancer in the body, healed in the name of Jesus. Throat cancer. That was a couple of weeks ago. That was still on me. Healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for all these people here, Lord. Limbs healed to grow in the name of Jesus. To grow. Hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Not embarrassing you, am I? No. Do you want to be free from your infirmity? What is it called again?
Ataxia.
Ataxia? Well, ataxia in the name of Jesus. We speak healing right now to this body. We command it to leave your body. Body, we command you to line up with the word of God. By the stripes, you are healed right now. Be loosed of your infirmity in the name of Jesus. Loosed in your infirmity. And we speak healing and deliverance in this body. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Is it hard to walk by yourself?
I have to hold on to someone or something.
Take his yoke and learn from him. He's the one you hold on to. Every time you get up, he's with you. You don't have to depend on someone else. You just depend upon Jesus and what he's done for you. Don't reel it in. Okay? Hallelujah. Lindsay, we're praying for your foot. We believe it's healed. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. And all who agree to that say amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out today.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.